It was just a few minutes ago that the one and only Chris Hoch, Dr. Hochenstein, came in here and delivered the goods as he always does, right? He always delivers. And this week I had to ask him because it became a big topic this week was his comment after the game the other day that back in training camp, Broderick Jones looked uninterested. And this led to an impassioned response from Hokie. And I wanted to play it back for you so you could hear it.
It's interesting. You know, I mean, I've played this game a long time, Starkey. I played in the NFL for 11 years. You see a lot of guys come and go. You see a lot of guys who are extremely talented, and they come to camp after having a pretty good season the year before, and they think they've arrived, and they think that I'm good, right? And sometimes you get complacent. And let's just take his own words. I mean, I'm saying something that is completely in line with his evaluation of his play. After the Bills game, Mike Prezuda asked him a question in the locker room on the south side like a day or two after the game.
Yeah.
Right? He asked him, is it your elbow? Is your elbow impacting how you play? What did Broderick Jones say? It's not the brace, his elbow brace, right? It's just me being able to lock into football. Hello. What lock into? What does that mean? I need to be more focused. If you're not focused, you're not interested in what's going on. If you're interested, you're focused. If you're focused, you're locked in. So he said it. He said he's not interested right now. He's got to be better and be locked in. He needs to improve his game and grow. And so the reality is, I'm just saying, you and people say, how do you criticize? And I wasn't criticizing. This guy is a super talented player. The Steelers wouldn't have moved up in the draft to pick him if he wasn't talented. He's a young guy that's growing, and he's maturing. I mean, listen, his comments after the game showed a big-time maturity of what happened with the penalties. So I really appreciated that. I thought that was great. But people say, Hokie, how can you criticize him for, you know, say he's interesting? You can criticize his play. Come on, guys. I mean, I played this game a long time. I've been around a lot of players. And the reality is you could tell a player who's out there just going through the motions, who's out there just kind of just getting through practice and thinking, I've arrived. I've been around a lot of those players, right? So don't try to tell me, how can you? I've been around this game for a long time. I've played 20-plus seasons, 11 in the NFL. So I've seen guys come and go. So that stuff is silly. The reality is, though, is that you have to continue to work on your game. Even Max Starks and Wolf, after the game, they kind of were talking and discussing about he needs to understand, it's not a direct quote, but the message, he needs to understand that he needs to continually be working on his game.
Yeah.
That says his game's not where he needs to be. You can't just look and say, I played well last year, and I was the catalyst for this turnaround in my offensive line, and everybody's talking about how great I am. You kind of start licking yourself. That's Coach Tomlin's words, right phrase. You start licking yourself, thinking you're great. And maybe that impacts your preparation, your training in the offseason, and your mentality when you come into training camp, and you're just, hey, I'm good. Every year is a different year. Every year you got to come in with a purpose. Every practice come with a purpose. And listen, I've heard it all. I read stuff on Twitter and all that. People say, Hokie, you know, how can Hokie criticize him? I saw him working after practice. Come on. You go out there practice. Some guys stand around and drink Gatorade and talk, and they might do a couple sets. Is he doing it with a purpose? Is he focused when his coach is talking to him? Is he listening to his coach? Or is he turning his head and looking at where the butterflies are? Or what a fan talking to him. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, people to criticize me for making a comment like that, I played this game a long time. How many seasons have those guys played?
Great ending. You edited that perfectly. And here's the thing. When I first texted Hokie about this the other day, saying, man, this is getting a lot of play here. Are you doubling down on it, or what exactly did you intend? What did that quote mean? He simply said, that was my observation. That doesn't mean it's a fact, but it's what I observed. And when somebody's there, when a former player is there observing something, to me at least, I have to respect that. I have to respect it. But even Hokie says, hey, it might not be true, but in his own words, after that preseason game, he said, I have to be more locked in. So maybe it's the word, you know, interested, look disinterested. All right, would it be better if you sort of euphemistically said he wasn't locked in enough in training camp? Sometimes it's the actual word choice that causes a big reaction among people. But man, this kind of reminds me of the Kevin Dotson situation here when the Steelers seemed to want it out there that they weren't all that pleased with this guy. Here, it's obvious, right? I mean, they traded up to get him at number 14 last year in the draft, and a season and two games later, after playing for a lot of his rookie year, he's the backup swing tackle. And I'm not sure it's all about injury. I mean, if he's injured, he shouldn't be out there, right? If he's literally injured and that is hampering him to the point of ineffectiveness, then Mike Tomlin and Pat Meyer were really derelict of duty, throwing him onto the field in a hostile environment in what we knew was going to be a very low-scoring game with the Steelers stuck on their one-yard line. I mean, it was a crazy move anyway. If he's too hurt to play, then he shouldn't be dressing on game day. So I'm going to assume that he's good enough to play. And in that case, they're clearly not happy with something. Tomlin praised virtually every one of his young offensive linemen the other day for being locked in early in the season here, except for one guy. So something is clearly amiss. I think a lot of fans always want things to be harmonious and always accuse the media of stirring up the you-know-what. Well, now this is a former player who's now in the media who's simply giving you an educated observation. Combine that with the fact that clearly they're not totally pleased with Broderick Jones, right? And it seemed to have started not long into camp. I don't think that's a crazy observation. I don't even think it's an opinion. I think it's fact. He's the backup swing tackle. You know, I hear people say the Steelers definitely don't want to have Broderick Jones on the bench. What? Who else? He's on the bench. Who else has him there other than the Steelers? It's exactly where they want him right now. Maybe long term they go and sign Dan Moore. I don't know. This whole Dan Moore thing is getting a little overblown this season as well. He wasn't good last season. He gave up something like 56 pressures. So let's see how this year goes when he's facing, you know, heightened competition in terms of pass rushers and things like that. That may start this weekend. Let's see how Dan Moore gets through this game. I'm very open to Dan Moore, you know, performing well and then saying, hey, now it's tough to make a change. I'm not sure we're there yet. Through two games, he's been fine. Everybody but Broderick Jones has been fine on the offensive line. I think some of that has to do with them putting him in a very, very difficult position by toggling him back and forth. They didn't do that to Fatanu. Put him out of position and let him go. I think this idea of, well, Broderick can play both positions, you know, that's really works to his favor. And that's what he does best and better than anybody. Oh, that's nice. He's the backup swing tackle is what he is. A guy that you drafted up to get at number 14 in the whole draft. And played. And he seemed to play pretty well. A lot of people traced the improvement in the run game last season to inserting Broderick Jones as a starter. What happened? Something. Other than his injury, I think. And so does Chris Oak. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. Jones is still very young. He is. But something is amiss here. And we'll see how the whole Dan Moore thing plays out this season. 412-928-9370. But that was great stuff, I thought, by Hokie. He also talked about the Chargers and how they come here with a very, very similar mindset. I like these kinds of games. This is an early 2000 Steelers-Ravens type matchup. It's going to be violent. It's going to be physical. It's going to be which team can exert its will in this game physically. I love that. The Chargers, if Justin Herbert is even relatively healthy, have a pronounced advantage at the most important position. with Easton Stick warming up in the bullpen. I can't say that name enough, Limits. Can you?
No, I like hearing you say the stick figure, Easton Stick.
Yeah. I mean, you can't lose to a stick figure. I think the line would go from 1.5 to about 4 at least. What did you make of Hokie's soliloquy there?
I thought it was blunt. I thought it was pretty honest and just kind of real from what he's seeing. Like, look, Chris has played the defensive line for a long time. Like, he knows what it's like being in the trenches and the emotions that go into that. So, did I think it was kind of bold and brash? Yes, but that's the way Chris is seeing it. And, I mean, he played in the NFL for, he said, 11 years. The amount of time, how long he's played football, and he's been, ever since he's been out of the game, he's been analyzing the game. I mean, I don't have many reasons to doubt Chris. I really don't have any reasons to doubt Chris and what he sees, especially because a lot of it is firsthand accounts. Now, if he was talking to Broderick Jones, maybe I'd be able to completely pound the table for it, but it's definitely an interesting observation.
I thought it was, and I think it made for some really good radio. He's just really good. But back to the matchup. You're going to see Greg Roman come in here, former Ravens coordinator with a former Raven at center and former Ravens at running back. J.K. Dobbins, by the way. Let me look at this guy's career numbers. I forgot to look this up, but I was thinking about it when Hokie was talking. It always seemed, even in Baltimore, that he would have a minimal number of carries but break off gigantic runs. I'll be surprised if I don't find here that his yards per carry in his career isn't right around 5. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, he was really good in Baltimore, but he got hurt twice.
6.2?
Yeah. He had 2 season-ending injuries in Baltimore, which is what spurred his career away from there.
Yeah. I mean, his first year in Baltimore, he had only 134 carries, but piled up 805 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was great.
And he's a home run hitter. 72-yard touchdown that year. And now, finally, you're right, 2 season-ending injuries. It looks like he might be back. He's only averaging, Limits, he's averaging 9.9 yards a carry so far this season. 27 carries for 266 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 61-yarder. So we could be looking at a star here if he can remain healthy. And as I mentioned earlier, it's time for the Steelers to make a stand with their run defense again. It's been too long. As good a defense as they've played a lot in recent years, especially early in seasons, and I get it, T.J. Watt's been hurt. They've had, last year they were plucking guys, you know, flight instructors off of couches to come here and play inside linebacker by the end of the season. But their run defense simply hasn't been good enough. And that always feels like a barometer for great Steeler defense. Just not good enough. The Patriots walked in here with Bailey Zappe at quarterback and ran at Acrisure Stadium for 150 yards last season. It's unacceptable stuff. And now that they've shored up the inside linebacker position, those guys are healthy. The defense is healthy at the moment. What I want to see more than anything else Sunday is a dominant Steelers run defense, just like the old days. I want to see them beat the hell out of J.K. Dobbins and stifle this Charger rushing attack. I'm not convinced it'll happen, though. I'm not. Are you?
No, I'm not. I still want to see this defensive line that, again, like last year, I think they were better than the year before, but they've still gotten gashed in the run game more so than getting just thrown all over the place. And the secondary's, I think, been the better unit than the defensive line over the last 2 years or so, at least last year.
I'm curious to see Patrick Queen sort of in amongst the trees against a physical run team, how he sorts it out up there and makes plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you got to have defensive linemen who keep blockers off of you. I get that. But this is going to be a game where I'm curious to see the Queen impact.
Well,
he's gotten horrible grades so far. I'm not sure that he's played poorly. I'm not. Just because he's not especially noticeable, sometimes that means you're not making big mistakes too. Now, he was credited, if you want to use that word, with some missed tackles in the opener. But I also think that when you're not noticeable, it could mean that you're playing pretty good positional football and just doing your job. I honestly am not sure after two games about Patrick Queen, which it is. There was a great clip, I think, from Alex Cazora of Steelers Depot of Queen covering a wide receiver way down the field. Did you see that clip?
I did not.
And his tweet was something to the effect of how refreshing it is to see a Steeler linebacker like that tracking a receiver, whatever it was, 20, 30, 40 yards down the field.
You're talking near the end zone?
I don't know where it was on the field.
Recall the play now.
The point is, probably none of us noticed it during the game, and he's not going to get I don't know if he'll get a big grade for that from PFF or anything like that, but the point is, he did his job on that play.
Well, and him doing that also helps out the secondary. Because let's be real, last year, Patrick Peterson and Levi Wallace were not good.
No, and this particular matchup against this team, the Steelers' inability from the linebacker position to cover receivers was underscored a few years back when Keenan Allen had 800 catches in a game, and you had people like Bob Spillane split out trying to cover him. Just horrible coaching, number one, but horrible matchups, horrible coverage. And now maybe, you know, you don't want to see that often, but a guy like Patrick Queen can track a receiver.
Yeah, remember when Mark Barron was trying to do that and Joe Schobert and John Bostic? So, how well that went?
Mark Barron, I forgot about him.
Yeah, old Alabama legend. He was supposed to be Barron. A safety, then he was a linebacker and move him around a little bit, play in the box.
Barron Von Trapp, and then the great Joe Schobert. This has been a position they've been chasing, and I think this is the week that if you don't notice Patrick Queen, I think there will be a problem. Because I think they're going to line up and try to run right at him and right at them. And you'll see plenty of Alandon Roberts, the tooth chipper. He's going to be chipper for this game, I would imagine. You agree?
Yeah, they're going to run right past Joe Alt, their star tackle that they just drafted. Like, he's really good.
What do you think of the first two versions of the Alandon Roberts show? I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
I have as well. Jeff did a really good job, and I thought Donnie did a good job for the first Alandon Roberts show.
Why don't we get good clips from the Alandon Roberts show and play them? I just thought of that. We can do that next week.
That's a good idea.
I'm not blaming you for anything. The idea just struck me. And now he's gone silent.
Well, I'm going to see if there actually is in here right now. Easy for me to say.
Well, maybe there
will
be.
From the show.
The 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The James Conner Show. Do you remember that thing?
Oh, yeah.
The
Ben Roethlisberger one is really the one that lit the world on fire with Ron and Pony.
The Ben Roethlisberger Show might have been the greatest athlete radio show in sports history, and the James Conner Show might have been the worst. You remember that thing?
It's kind of why I don't remember it as fondly as the Ben Roethlisberger show.
It was crazy. I love James Conner, mind you, but I just don't think he wanted to do a radio show, yet there he was doing a radio show. It was unbelievable. It was like Belichick at a news conference doing a radio show. But the Alandon Roberts show was wonderful. Ryan Clark did one with Pony way back when. You remember that? That also was one of the great athlete shows ever. And I think a lot of people had Ryan Clark pegged for big things in the media, and he's more than delivered on that, hasn't he? Do you like him?
I do. I like him a lot. My friends actually grew up playing football with his son, Jordan, in youth football. And they said that he's always been gracious with time whenever they were around Ryan Clark when he was still playing for the Steelers. So I haven't really heard anything bad about him, and his analysis is really good.
It really is.
I mean, like his podcast.
Sometimes
a lot.
I don't agree with him, but who cares?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's not going to agree with everybody on everything, but his podcast, The Pivot's really good. Their interview with AB, fantastic. Just authentic and real.
Coming up next, and this has been a great run for Pitt Volleyball, and this is becoming an event in this town. I mentioned off the top of the show that it's reminding me a little bit of Pitt basketball from the early 2000s when suddenly, from out of nowhere, you had the Peterson Event Center absolutely rocking and people into it. This is an event town. We love winners. We notice when people are suddenly flocking to something, we want to do the same. We want to get in on it. And it's happening with Pitt Women's Volleyball. They've been to a bunch of Final Fours. Now they're number one in the country. I think this is probably their best team. They're 7-0. Women's volleyball is becoming a high-profile sport. People watch it. People enjoy it. You were at the Pete last night. How would you describe the atmosphere? 11,600, a volleyball record.
11,800.
And what was the atmosphere like?
It was a friendly atmosphere, but it was definitely one that was engaged. That's probably what I took the most from it. Like, there was nobody on their phone, nobody doing other stuff. Everybody was really engaged in the action. And, I mean, the Pitt fans have definitely bought in on volleyball in the city.
I just couldn't help but think of Ben Howland and the Pitt basketball team.
It's one of the most rapidly growing sports, I mean, in America, and clearly the city is embracing it.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. They're number one in the country, as I mentioned, 7-0 and haven't lost a set. 21-0. And one of their stars, Olivia Babcock, she was the freshman of the year last year in the country, according to the American Volleyball Coaches Association. She's really fun to watch. She's a great player. I've got a bunch of questions for her, too. She came all the way here from L.A. She was the only freshman on the USA women's volleyball team at the Pan American Cup. She might be an Olympian before long. This is going to be great. We're going to talk to Olivia next on the show. Fan Weather brought to you. But did I just do this 2 seconds
no,
ago?
Not no, not in the 50 minute.
I'm sorry.